I want to preach for a little while again through the book of Luke. And so as we continue, if you'd find your place in Luke chapter number 9, and we'll look at this passage together, Luke chapter 9, verse number 37. We'll find our place there. As you find your spot in Luke 9, I did hear this story. Now, this is a true story. I'm like that one fellow said, listen, I'm not preaching now. I'm telling you the truth. Well, that's not the best way to say it, but this is not even a joke. This is a true story, but it does have humor in it. I read about this story that a lady entered a Häagen-Dazs out in Kansas City, and as she was going in, the actor Paul Newman, this has been several years ago, Paul Newman was coming out, and so she met him face-to-face, so she was a fan. And so she met him, or in there, saw him. She was too afraid to say anything, but he was in there. She was in there, saw him face to face. And then she went on to order her ice cream and take care of all that. She paid, and she just was dumbfounded and went out. Well, she got back out on the sidewalk. She realized she didn't have her ice cream. So in all the excitement, she said, well, I paid for it, but I forgot to get it. And so she went back in, and this time the actor Paul Newman was coming out. And so he was coming out, she was going in, and she was still too dumbfounded, couldn't say anything. And so she nodded, and he said, hey, did you forget something? You're looking for your ice cream? And she said this, or she did that. She didn't say anything, and she nodded her head, and he said, it's in your purse. You put it in there when you put your change back. So that was true. Funny nonetheless. Verse number 37 of Luke 9. It came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, Jesus. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departing from him. And I besought thy disciples, this is the dad speaking again, to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Bringing the hard cases to Jesus, that's what this man was doing. Now, you remember that Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, John. Peter's the one that said, Lord, it'd be a great thing to have. I'm glad we're here. Let's build a tabernacles. Let's build three of them, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And so they're coming off this high, and they're coming down. Now, as I'm so impressed as I thought about this and trying to get ready for the morning, I'm so impressed that Jesus didn't spend more time up there than he wanted to or needed to up on the mount. He wanted to get back into what he was coming for, because I'm amazed at how you see Jesus do these great and wonderful miracles, but not long after that happens, he's down there meeting the needs of people. And that's what he does here, because as he's coming down off of the hill, he's seeing the needs of people. No wonder that the Bible says in Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh unto them or the broken heart. Psalm 50, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Psalm 55 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And as you go to the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's as if the Lord didn't want to spend any more time up there than needed. He wanted to come back down, and he wanted to give himself to people, and he was ministering to the needs of people. And as he's getting down there, the crowd's coming toward him, and one of the people in that crowd cry out and say, Lord, would you heal my son? And he tells him all of the problems that his son is having. It was September of 1991. It was in the National Geographic that year. It told a story. The journalist wrote this story about a young man that had been burned really bad in a boiler accident at his work. He had had some 6,000 square centimeters of skin grafts from donor skin put on his body because it was necessary. They also had tried to do some cultures of one spot on him that wasn't burned very bad and grow some for that. But the journalist asked this boy that was young man that was burned so bad. He says, do you ever think about the donor that saved your life? And here's what he answered. I was so convicted as I read this, because I'm afraid that this may be what I and we all do sometimes, the greatest gift that we got. When the journalist asked, "Do you ever think about the donor who saved your life?" He replied, "To be alive because someone died is too big, too much, so I don't think about it." Now, I understand in that, I don't know how that's possible, but I understand in his situation, it was just too dark, too overcoming, too overwhelming to think you took and somebody had to give. But I'm afraid, as I read that story, I'm afraid that maybe that's how we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was our donor, of course. He was the one that that yielded his life and gave it for us and took on human flesh, and he took our sins upon him who knew no sin and became the sin for us, for the sins of the world. And so sometimes I'm afraid that we don't do enough thinking and pondering and thanking the Lord for what he did for us. But Jesus comes on the scene there, and he always wants to go, and he wants to help, and he wants to be assistance to the people. He rebuked the unclean spirit, the Bible says in verse number 42, and he healed the child, and then he came bringing him back to the dad. As we think on these things, I want to work our way through this passage. I want you to look in verse number 39, and I want you to see the evidence, though, of Satan's work. Lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departing from him. In Mark chapter 9, the parallel passage of this passage, the other gospel says he foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. In Matthew chapter 17, yet the other parallel passage says he was sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And so the evidence of Satan's working was so clear in that day. All you had to do was just look at this disturbed young man and see all the problems that Satan had brought into him, that demonic activity. But I think about this in our life today. I think that we're letting Satan have a heyday in some of our lives as well. If I could just press for a moment, sometimes parents will say things that kind of astound me. They'll say things about their children. They'll say, "Well, I just can't say no to my kids. I love them too much." Well, if we realize that God gave them to us to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then we would have to put some boundaries around them and tell and do things to them that they don't like, tell them things that they don't want to hear. But sometimes we have bought into the lie of Satan, and Satan exhibits himself in that way just to let people do what they want to do. How about this area of relationships? Our nation has been duped by Satan, and our nation has bought into the lie that it doesn't matter the order in which you live. It was true in Scripture how the Bible says people are supposed to come together and then live in a married way. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But our nation has been duped by Satan to say that relationships don't matter and godly marriages don't matter, and it doesn't matter how you order those things or whether you order them at all. Just go and live to what makes us happy. Can you see what I'm getting at? On that day, it was very evident that Satan was working, because all you had to do was look at that young man who would fall in the fire sometimes, because that demon would rip and tear and cause all kinds of turmoil in his life and thereby in his family's life. But we see in our nation today that Satan is still having a field day, a heyday in getting us to go against what the Scripture says. How about truthfulness? Before the days of cell phone, a dad or a house was called, and when the person called, the boss from work called and asked if the dad was there, the dad could hear enough through the phone to know what was being asked, and the dad told his son, "Tell him I'm not here." And what is that teaching? That's teaching that truth and lie, they're only to be used to benefit me and the situation that I've got going. My friend, we're supposed to be training young people to live for the Lord and tell the truth and live in the truth and live in righteousness. But what I'm seeing in our nation, as you are as well, that Satan's work is very, very evident. You're here at church today, so I'm not speaking to you necessarily, but you understand that we have the privilege of coming together on the Lord's Day. We're not celebrating, or we're not doing this as a command in the Sabbath as if we're under the law, but we do worship the Lord, and we come together corporately, and we raise our children to realize that it's important for believers to come together to sing and to praise and to fellowship and to encourage and to help lift each other's burdens. So I'm saying this morning that it's very evident, as it was on that day, that Satan was at work. It's evident that he's at work in today's age as well. But I want you to look in verse number 40 as we work our way through. I see not only the evidence of Satan's work, but then the challenge of these people's faith is given. I besought thy disciples, and what I wanted to do is I wanted them to cast him out. Now, you've got to remember, did Jesus give the ministry to the disciples to cast out demons? He did, yeah. They were headed out to do those things, but they came against a tough case here, and they couldn't do it. And so he says, I besought thy disciples. I begged them to cast him out, and they could not. Mark chapter 9 says, the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus answered in verse number 29 of that chapter. He says, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Over in Mark, in that same passage that's parallel to this one, he told the Father, he said, if thou believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And his disciples were again astounded. And he says, because of your unbelief. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say this mountain be removed, and it would be. So we see that Satan's working, but then the challenge is given to these disciples to say, you needed more of the Lord's help. I would like to challenge everybody in this room today in the moments that we have left to realize that there are some tough cases that you are the most likely person to get through to God on behalf of somebody. A friend of mine, pastor for years and years, he would use this phrase. He'd say, we need to shut them up to God. Not the way you'd usually use that phrase, but we need to close them up, encapsulate them, shut them up to God. Meaning by that, he was saying those tough cases, those problems, that unsaved relative that you've got, that person that you were grieved again about this Thanksgiving that did not come to Christ, but they were with your family, maybe in a eating food setting, and that person that is away from God and that's not serving God and not living for God, but living in a way horribly detrimental to them and not honoring to God. We need to shut them up to God, and we need to pray. And some of us need to get a renewed fervor today to say, I will pray and I will close them up to God. I will beg God to work in their behalf. So the challenge is given to these disciples that day when Jesus said, these things come not but by prayer and fasting. And prayer, of course, we know what that is, going to God. Fasting is simply you skip something like food. You skip an earthly blessing to receive a spiritual emphasis and a spiritual blessing. And so we understand that the challenge is given. I read of a story again in the Associated Press. Back in the early 90s, again, cell phones weren't prevalent like they are now. And this lady, Cindy Hartman, heard her phone ring that was in the house. And so she went in Conway, Arkansas. And when she went to the house, she was surprised. A burglar was in there. She'd been out back working and somebody had slipped in. Had a gun and held it on her, forced her into the closet. And as she went into that closet, he ripped the phone out of the wall. And as she went into the closet, she said this to the burglar that was in there. I want you to know that God loves you and I forgive you. Now, I would have had some things to say to that guy, but very likely not that phrase. But she was better than I would have been. I want you to know that God loves you and I forgive you. You wouldn't believe it if it wasn't documented, but the Associated Press published the story. The burglar apologized to that lady. He went to the door and hollered out to somebody who was out there that they had loaded some stuff in and says, we've got to unload all this stuff. This is a Christian home, and we can't do it to them. That man apologized. She stayed on her knees, apologized, and later handed the gun to her. My friend, we've got some big things in our lives that we need to pray through for. We've got some people that are in your life. They don't know it and they certainly don't appreciate it, but they are counting on you to pray them to Jesus Christ. They are counting on you to pray and to beg God and go to Him on their behalf that they would get right. They would get saved if they need to be. They would come home if they're backslidden away from God. And so I see that the challenge is given in faith. And those men, the men, the disciples, didn't have quite what it took. But as we close, look at verse number 42. We see the power of the Lord is evident. The Lord's power is very evident because it says in verse 42, he was yet a coming. The devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus, the Master, the Creator, God Almighty, enrobed in human flesh, rebuked the unclean spirit. Now you got to understand who this unclean spirit would have been. One that God had cast out of heaven some long time before. Rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child at the end of verse 42, and delivered him again to his father. Then a song says, Jesus passed by my way, and he gave me hope that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by. The Lord's power was very, very evident. So I'm asking you this morning before we head out, what is it in your life that's a tough case? What is it in your thinking that God, like we put the pictures or words up on the wall here, what is God bringing on the walls of your mind right now? That's what I need to see God do big things in. This is that unsaved husband. This is that unsaved son. This is that wayward family member. This is that horrendous situation that needs to be fixed. What is it that God's bringing to your minds? I remember that you remember it was at Lazarus' tomb as Jesus was there. He had delayed to show his power. Mary, Martha were there. But it was Martha that told Jesus that, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. And wouldn't you have loved to have been around in that day? I would have. Sometimes you have a hard time just bringing together how you live now, and that's where God wants you to live, or he would have put you somewhere else. But wouldn't it have been wonderful to be back in that day? I'd have been loving to walk by that graveyard one day and say, what are you all doing around here? Well, we're getting ready to walk, watch this guy come out. Of course, Jesus would have been the only one who knew he was going to do it. The other ones didn't believe it. I'd love to have been around during that day, but God's got us living here. And so Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. And Jesus said those words, Lazarus, come forth. He did. Jesus steps on the scene. He works again and again. Well, I would have loved to have seen those days. I certainly would have. But even though we're not living in that era, still the power of God, he may work a little differently in some fashions than he did then, but no less powerfully. We say that we'd like to have been back then and seen that thing, and that would have been a wonderful miracle to observe. But you know the thing about Lazarus? If you'd have seen him rise, Jesus brought him back, if you'd lived long enough, you could have also went to the next funeral he had. So that wasn't the greatest miracle to see. The greatest miracle was last week when somebody got saved upstairs, because that's forever. We always think about these people, and this one, for instance, we always think about these people that have some great and wonderful spectacle done in their life. Said, wow, that would have been so neat to watch. It would be. But more eternal is when somebody bows their head and puts their faith in Jesus Christ. That miracle is happening today. That's what we pray it is happening right now in these services. So as we look at the close, we see that God brings it all around. Verse 43, they were all amazed. They were amazed at the mighty power of God. But even in that, even while they wondered, every one of his disciples, which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these things sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Verse 45, but they understood not. Just like normal, they didn't understand it all. But Christ prophesies coming death. So this morning as we conclude, this is a wonderful passage where the men couldn't get it done, but God could. Maybe Peter, James, and John, if they had been out there, maybe they would have been the heavy hitters spiritually, and they might have had enough faith in God to get it done. I don't know. But I do know that we see the Lord step on the scene. And I'm going to ask here in just a few moments for anybody that feels led to come down the altar, the steps, the side, the front seats here, and just give some things to the Lord and say, Lord, this is too big for me. I need you to work. Because I'm convinced that there are people represented by you. They're out there somewhere. They're in your family. You sat with some of them during Thanksgiving. They're your coworker. They're an estranged family member, but they're connected by you. And so I don't have them, but I have you here. And I'm telling you that you need to accept the burden, the hard case of going to God, asking Him to please save my loved one. Please bring home my estranged family member. You need to, as my friend said, shut them up to God. Close them up there. And you go to God again and again with renewed fervor that maybe you've lost because you've gotten busy. They were bringing the hard cases to Jesus. Let's do the same, shall we? Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that you would help every one of us, dear Lord, not shy away from the hard case. As these ladies come to play, here's my invitation to you. If you're here and you're a Christian, but God's shown somebody on the screen of your mind that you need to be the go-between, you need to go to God for them on their behalf, then my friend, let's take them on as the tough case. You say, Brother John, they're going to be a tough one. Well, if they're easy, I might already be taken care of. I know you don't have anything more difficult than raising Lazarus, and that's what Jesus did. And I know you don't have anything more needful than somebody to be saved. I prayed with one of our dear members of the first service. She came forward and we prayed for her son who's lost. She's burdened. Are you burdened today for someone? As the ladies play and God moves upon your heart, I'm going to ask everybody if you're able to stand together. But I hope some of you don't stand all the way to your feet. You just come down to this old-fashioned altar and turn somebody over to the Lord. Just shut them up to God. Who is it that has one that's too tough for you, but you'd like to give them to God? Maybe it's an unsaved spouse. It's a wayward child. It's a relationship that's gone seven ways from proper. Satan's working overtime. He's certainly showing his evidence of his work. And maybe we're like the disciples saying, Lord, I don't know why we haven't seen this happen yet. Maybe we've been trying to do it in our own power. Would you come? We're a few minutes ahead of where I typically am, so we've got time. Would you just give it to God? Shut them up to the Lord. As they continue to play, let's not stop praying. Keep on right now. Close them up, seal them up, hedge them in. God, you've got to do it. God, you've got to save my son. God, you've got to keep my children going the right direction. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. We've been praying for you. And you're the somebody that somebody's been praying for. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here at the front. Take a Bible and show you how to be sure Jesus is your Savior. You're on your way to heaven. My friend, we can't do that for you, but Jesus has already done it all. They're going to play one more verse. This one's yours for some spiritual decision you need to make. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved, you know that, but you haven't been followed Christ. You haven't been baptized. You come, we'll do that in a service real soon. But you come and just go ahead and commit. Say, I want to do that. Brother Daniel, get me signed up. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You come present yourself for membership. This verse is yours. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, we are getting ready for a very busy, busy season. And I'm grateful that we have so many opportunities to get people in here. I challenge you to take a couple of those invite cards. Of course, the gospel's on there, but it has the events down through there. Christmas in the courtyard, Christmas Eve service, 4:30 on Christmas Eve. We have a wonderful, wonderful time in here on that service and so many other things. But I want to give you a couple of announcements just to keep you up to date on some things. On that Oasis meeting, 55 plus, if that's you, you're going to be blessed. I know you'd love to enjoy the activity. That's not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday in the evening, 5 to 8. But there's a sign-up. We need to know how much food to get because the church provides the food. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you'd sign up on that, that's December the 9th, a week from Tuesday. And Amy and I will be back there. We can direct you that way if you're interested. And then I'm going to ask the Cullers, if you don't mind, to slip on back to their table. And you need to meet this missionary couple. They are a blessing. And I'm so grateful for what God has used them to do already. And they're heading back. And I want you to take a prayer card and be in prayer for them. I already mentioned at the beginning, but if I were going to Taiwan, I would want the people in this room praying for me. And so I challenge you to do that for them. And then one last one. If you've been coming for a while and you'd like to know more about Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we'll be announcing here in a couple weeks that Brother Bobby Brown, one of our deacons, and his wife, we have a discovery class. It goes for about 3 or 4 weeks. Tells a little bit about the history of the church, and we'll be announcing that date real soon. But I want you to get signed up for that. We'll have a good, good time together, and I'm so grateful. If you're thinking about that and God's leading you to do that, then please follow the Lord, and we would love to talk to you more about that. Well, Brother Daniel's going to come pray for us. He'll be preaching tonight. I'll be here. I'm going to be looking forward to hearing the message that God's put on his heart, and I'm thankful for Daniel and Becca and their family, and they've got 3 boys and a girl on the way. I don't know. That's not true. Is it? Yeah, okay. I was making sure I wasn't being prophetic there. I was making sure. If it turns out to be a girl, remember this message. That's right. Okay. I have no idea. So I did hear about this one family. They were excited about the baby coming, and they had an older brother. And they said, "Well, do you want a you want a baby brother or a baby sister?" He said, "I want a pony." So, but that's not going to happen. But pray for us.
Pray for us. That's what we need. Father, thank you for a wonderful morning that we've had in church today. We are grateful for the work that you choose to do in our hearts and our midst as a church. Lord, I pray you'd bless us as we go. Help us to keep these things before us. Lord, we need to be praying more about the big things in our lives and the little things. I pray you'd bless as we go. Help us have a wonderful afternoon. Bless the evening service as we come back together later tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.